Coming to Facebook will be again in Matthew 24. Those of you in the auditorium, please stand. Will you read God's holy word? Matthew 24. And in verse 5, excuse me, verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 11, And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Verse 24, For they shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you this day for your goodness and mercies. And Lord, we ask that you would bless your word. And Lord, again, we're reminded that there are false prophets and false Christs in our day, Lord. And help us to be learned men and women of your holy word, that we know truth, but better, we also know error, Lord, to be able to defend your word in power and in truth, O God. Lord, I pray for those that are yet outside Christ, that this morning you would draw them unto thee with your Holy Spirit, with glorious effectual workings, O God. And so, Lord, meet with us this morning. Feed us, as it were, from the finest of the wheat. For we ask all these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Please be seated. And so again this morning, we continue Matthew 24 as we're considering the warning of false prophets and false Christ. And this will be part two as I continue my message from last week. And amazing, as Christ is about to warn the people about what's going to happen in their generation and in 70 AD and destruction of the temple, the first thing he warns them about, the very first thing that he warns them in Matthew 24, is about false prophets and false Christ that would come and deceive many. And as I said last week, this is not the first time that Christ had mentioned this to them. He had warned them in the Sermon on the Mount, what we read last week in Matthew 7:15, where it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And of course, what we read there in verses 11 and 24 also, there'll be false prophets and false Christ. And therefore, the first warning given to that generation is about false Christ and false prophets who will appear to try to seek, to deceive many. And we also saw that this is also written in Mark and Luke. And thus, we saw that there were false Christ and false prophets in their generation. But then, as we said, in every generation since the time of Christ, that includes ours, and we saw many verses that spoke about false prophets, but we ended in Colossians 2:8. But I did not have enough time to finish there in Colossians 8 about the four things that the Apostle Paul warns us about mentioned. So let's turn again to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 and at verse 8. And as I said last week, I would read all of the first seven verses, but for the sake of time, we'll just read verse 8. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware." Isn't that what Christ said? The same word. "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And again, he begins with that very needful, important word, beware, as Christ also said. We are to beware, that is to take heed. Beware. Why? Lest any man. And this phrase includes all false prophets, along with any other person, anyone who would seek to deceive you or spoil you. Okay? Now, again, this word spoil here is not speaking about food that goes bad and is spoiled, or maybe by little children that are spoiled, you know, and things like that. No, the word spoil here means to be taken captive, to be put into bondage, okay, or taken as a hostage. So he's warning you that these false teaching will not hold you in a bondage of deception. So he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you." And like Christ, Paul was so moved to warn us that the teachings of any man, any person, anyone teaching that which is contrary to the true word of God that is set forth in the Bible, we must be on constant guard. And as we said last week, let us make sure we have our spiritual antenna up 24/7 and being careful in two things: what we hear and how we hear that is so important. Notice again the warning of Paul and the four specific things he uses in commanding us to beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world. And all these four things are set forth in contrast with the last phrase, and not after Christ. Now last week, the first thing we got to was philosophy. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. We saw that this word philosophy basically means lover of wisdom. And that man through the ages and times has saw the essence of philosophy in man's wisdom in order to determine at times they would feel the aspect of human causes, what's going to happen in the world, why are we here, and what happens afterwards, all these things. I mean, what is the purpose of life? I mean, philosophers write about so many things, you know, even regarding the universe and things like that. But we saw last week, and this is why it took so long, that we went to Acts 17, where remember when Paul was preaching in the book of Acts, in Acts 17, and he's in Athens. And when he's in Athens preaching powerfully, the philosophers confront Paul. So what does Paul do? He compromises. No, he did not. He preached the word of God. He preached the truth. He preached about Jesus Christ and him crucified. He preached about his death, burial, and resurrection. He preached the message that we all should be preaching. And you can hear that message from last week that we put up at sermonaudio.com/HDGBC. Now, the second thing that Paul warns about in Colossians 2:8 is not only philosophy, but now secondly he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. So he warns us secondly, beware of vain deceit. That is, beware of that what might also be called empty deceit. Any subtlety. That is to be very cautious of that which is hollow, but also deceptive. Which in the end is but vain deceit. One writer makes this point regarding that phrase, vain deceit. He says, quote, through philosophy and vain deceit, the fact that these two nouns, philosophy and deceit, are the objects of one preposition in the Greek via, through, and the lack of the article with vain deceit and empty deception indicate that the words vain and deceit are both describing the character of the philosophy. This verse could then be read, beware lest any man lead you away captive, which means spoiled, lead you away captive through philosophy, which is empty and deceptive, unquote. I like that. Again, the word vain basically means empty, fruitless, vain, without usefulness, also can mean false. And so the word deceit means to cheat, delude, deceive, to beguile somebody. It describes that which gives a false appearance or a false impression by statement or influence. In other words, it is speaking of anything that will seduce you and take you away from the things of God, and that is by man's wisdom. And this is why Paul again uses the word like the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, beware. He says, beware that if we name the name of Christ, we must be on guard. Do not let anyone or anything deceive you, because deception is all but empty deceit, hollow, deceptive. And we must take heed to what we have heard. As remember what Paul said there in the book of Hebrews. Why? Because if we don't take heed to things we hear, they might slip, okay, through our fingers, really through our hearts. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we have to give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The point is, we must be on guard. Because many will come, again, as Christ says, clothed in sheep's clothing, seeking to devour us. Christ says, these are what? But ravening wolves. The word ravenous speak of being destructive, being greedy, regarding those who have an excessive gratification and self-satisfaction. It's like a literal wolf whose hunger is so violent that it preys on weaker animals to destroy them. No regard for anyone but for themselves. In other words, false prophets are like wolves, utter selfishness and greed in pure materialism, living preying on others. And they bring nothing but vain deceit. So Paul warns, yes, you must beware of philosophy and vain deceit. But then thirdly, the Apostle Paul says, beware any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man. And that is so important. After the tradition of man. Because we live in a day and time that in many churches is all based on tradition.
Right.
Traditions of men. So under no circumstances do not by any means allow yourselves to be deceived or spoiled through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men. Paul now really further identifies this empty and hollow deception, which depends again on human wisdom or human tradition in contrast to Christ. False prophets always present error in their false gospel, in the false teachings, and in their heresy. They always seem to present something new, some new form, some new discovery of a certain truth that is hidden, but in reality is developed in their own minds, not in the Word of God. My point is, be very careful of those who come running and say, I have something new from God. I have a new revelation from God. It is deception. And so sad that so many people fall into that. You know that in Ecclesiastes 1:9, the wisest man outside Christ, Solomon, he wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. There it is. In other words, there is nothing new under the sun. In other words, again, as we said in our Sunday school, we have 66 books in this Bible. 66 books. The Word of God is our guide to lead us in truth. And because, I mean, this book has already been written. It's been, what, over 2,000 years. Therefore, there is nothing new under the sun. So be very careful of those coming and saying, claiming, I have something new from the Lord. I have a new revelation. I have something new from God. If it's not in the 66 books, you better beware. And if it is in the 66 books, guess what? Then it's not new. It's already in the Word of God. It has already been set forth. So beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men. So be careful. Anybody coming with some new, quote unquote, revelation. Not only this, but there are many who put their tradition over the Word of God. And is this not what the Pharisees were doing? And this is why Christ, in Matthew 15, confronted the Pharisees regarding their traditions. I'm going to read it to you. It says, Then came to Jesus the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But Christ answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? I've already preached on that, so I'm not going to touch much on that. But I wanted to remind you that Christ exposed the Pharisees about their false traditions. Okay? And so I'm amazed how people will do whatever they can just to keep their tradition, regardless of what the Word of God says. But they're going to keep their tradition. And it goes against, even if it goes against Christ and His teachings. And this just shows how steep that spoil is, or that bondage of captivity from someone or something, rather than what the Bible says or what our Lord Jesus Christ says. They will turn us away. They will spoil you from a complete dependence upon the Word of God and the Scriptures. The word tradition means to completely surrender, to yield, or by entrusting, by delivering up. When traditions of men cause you to remove yourself from the things of Christ, to take you away from the Word of God, then it's very dangerous and you better consider it. Don't want to offend anybody this morning, whatever views you might have, but one of the very subtle traditions in our day is infant baptism. You will not find one verse, not one verse in any way to substantialize this teaching. But many are hooked in this tradition of baptizing infants. But you don't find it in the Bible at all. It's just a tradition of men. Baptism is what? Believer's baptism, not infants. Infants can't believe. So it's so sad. And then it gives them a false assurance. So sad when people look to tradition. And so there are so many man-made traditions that at times are given more prominence than the Word of God, than the God-breathed true doctrines that are set forth in the Scripture. Oh, to God, the preachers would understand that any and all teaching must be tested by the standard, or what I love to use, the plumb line of the Scriptures. That is, God's holy word. I want to share with you five things that trips man sometimes wholeheartedly, causing them to embrace traditions of men that are embellished in false doctrines and false prophets. The first one is, be sure of this. Traditions entrenched in false teachings by false prophets are usually very deceptive, very cunning, and very subtle. Okay? Remember, as Christ said, that false prophets shall come dressed in sheep's clothing. But in reality, are what? Ravening wolves. Not sparing the flock. Like Satan. False prophets do not disavow the whole truth, but they use some of the truth to deceive. And so sad that so many have been deceived by traditions of the false prophet by accepting them as true, but in reality are false, because it is like the subtlety of Satan to Eve. And I know we've mentioned this before many times. Remember when Satan came and he willingly deceived Eve by saying to her in Genesis 3:1, "Now the serpent, which was more subtle than any other beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He was very subtle because he included some things. But he purposely left some things out too. Because what the Word of God says in Genesis 2, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou shalt mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die." No, Satan didn't remove all the truth, just enough to deceive, to be subtle and deceive Eve. Consider this quote. Quote, "False teaching is not a blatant disavowal of accepted belief. It is usually an exaggeration of some kernel of truth. It is one element of truth taken to an extreme. As one has said, truth taken to the exclusion of other truth is error. Many false teachings will not stand up, and many false teachers will not stand up and scream, 'This is a teaching which contradicts the Bible.' No, instead, it would take a portion of the Bible and misuse it. It would take one element of the truth to an extreme that discounts the rest of the truth. It is plain distortion." Unquote. So that is so true. So let me remind you of something that's also very important regarding false prophet. It is not, if I look up here, it is not so much what they say, but what they don't say is what's dangerous. If you don't get that one, talk to me after the services and I'll explain it to you. Because it's not what they say, it's what they don't say that is dangerous. Because many of them won't tell you to repent of sin because they don't preach in sin. And they won't tell you that Jesus is the only way because they have a way too. Very deceitful, very cunning, and I said very subtle. Not only that, but secondly, traditions of false prophets are, secondly, the inventions of men. Or, if you want to use the term, the work of man's hand. In Ecclesiastes 7:29, it says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God had made men upright. They have sought out many inventions." And even in this 21st century, many are seeking many inventions regarding the Scriptures. In Jeremiah 2:13, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and has hewn out their own cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. There's a lot in that, and I preached a couple of messages on that verse itself. But men in this 21st century have done the same thing. They have forsaken the Word of God and exchanged it for the traditions of men, for the traditions and inventions of men, plus in the work of their own hands, for the work of their own hands. In Jeremiah 25, it says, "And go not after other gods and serve them, to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the work of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own hurt." Even in Acts 7:41, it says, "And they made a calf in those days, and offered a sacrifice unto idols, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands." And we know what happened. Oh, yes. So man puts a lot of effort in the inventions and their own traditions as they exchange the work of their own hands for the Word of God. Christ warns us on the dangers and traditions of, and even the inventions of men, as he dealt with this also in Mark, which says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other things, like ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions." If the traditions of men cause you to reject the Word of God, then know that this is exactly what Paul is speaking about, and that's why he uses the word beware. Beware, be careful of the inventions of men that are but mere traditions. And this is why he says boldly, "Beware of vain deceit after the tradition of men." Excuse me. And then thirdly, not only false prophets and false teachings are mere traditions, very cunning, subtle, embedded, and in also in the inventions of men, but they are also very alluring, very appealing, because they are very attractive. This is what makes false prophets, especially like the one in Houston, so famous and likable, but yet also at the same time so deceiving, because his teaching is very appealing and very attractive, and it emphasizes man's potential to achieve by just being positive. We just got to be positive. You know, my wife and I saw about almost 15 years ago, we just happened to run the news, and I can't remember if it was Barbara Walters, I don't know who it was in interviews, Joel Osteen. And I can't believe the question she asked him. It blew me asunder. I wish I would have recorded that. Do you remember that, Sandra? Do you know what she asked him? Something that I want to ask him. Can you believe that? She asked him, "Oh, Mr. Osteen, why don't you preach on sin?" And with a big smile, "Well, you got to understand that, well, you know, sin is so negative. And we don't want to talk about negative things." Always a big old smile. "We got to think of those things that are positive. Those things that are good, you know. Not sin. No, no, no." I was like, what? I on live TV, I was like, wow. Unbelievable. I mean, it's all based on just being positive. And I have to say, he is what I call a modern-day Stoic, one of the philosophers that was in Acts 17. He gives people what they want to hear, a very positive and pleasant message. It is the same thing as also in our day what is called the health and wealth gospel. Many people flock to that health and wealth gospel. Why? Because it's very appealing. I mean, who doesn't want to be wealthy? Who doesn't want to be healthy? But the Word of God doesn't teach that. That's the difference. Joel Osteen is but the second coming of Robert Schuller. You don't know who Robert Schuller is? Robert Schuller follows in the footsteps also of Norman Vincent Peale. Go read about those men. And Osteen follows in the footsteps of Robert Schuller. All of these three men were so immersed and entrenched in their positive thinking, philosophical, vain deceit messages. It's always based on personal benefits. That is, what is in there for me? Because it's all about me. It is all self-centered. It is all man-centered. Well, I'm sorry to inform you this morning if you think that it's not about you, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about the God in heaven. Not about us. It's about Christ. About Christ. Because true biblical Christianity is God-centered. It's according to Christ. And what does it say there in Colossians 2:8, the last phrase? And not after Christ. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. This is the whole argument of the Apostle Paul regarding these four things, the philosophy, vain deceit, tradition, rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And how sad, how many, by the thousands and thousands and thousands, flock to hear Joel Osteen. And when he goes out preaching in different places, you don't go see him for free. You got to buy a ticket. And those tickets are expensive. Not that I was going to go see him, but I was just curious how much they were. And I said, oh my goodness. I didn't go, okay?
For the record.
Yeah, for the record. And I'm being recorded, so anyway. But this type of message causes many to seek that self-esteem message to make them feel good. And no doubt, it appeals again to the flesh immensely. These false prophets promise to give their followers something more simple. Something more than, if I can phrase it like, something more than simple faith in Christ. As they focus on some deep experience, which is nothing what I would say, neo-Gnosticism. As many follow their secret truth for success. And you know that Paul wrote Colossians to attack neo-Gnosticism. In his day, or Gnosticism, I should say. Neo-Gnosticism is a new way of Gnosticism, is what I mean. And then fourthly, not only traditions of men are deceiving and subtle, cemented in the inventions of man, very appealing, but they are also very enticing and very seducing, as they capture the minds of men because they are delightful to the flesh and appealing to the heart. Amazing how traditions, the traditions of man, are buried in the words of man's wisdom. And they can be so enticing, so appealing. Reminds me of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, is in the text I'm going to read, is my 1 Corinthians 2 is my favorite verse in the Bible that says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's my message. That's the verse that God gave me in my heart. And I sought to preach that for 34 years that I've been here. In 1 Corinthians 2, listen carefully to what Paul says to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, again in verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Why? For I determined not to do anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but how? In the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? This is the most important thing. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." And if your faith stands in the wisdom of man, you better be careful. Because the early part that I professed, it stood in the wisdom of man. Because they told me, because I said my little sinner's prayer, I was saved, I was saved, I was saved. And I was trusting in the wisdom of man. Until the power of God really saved me, then I'm trusting the power of God. So, yeah, I love that phrase, the last verse. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." And then, in 2 Corinthians, the next chapter, in 2 Corinthians 4, there's a lot here too, but I'm just going to read one verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That is the whole essence of preaching. I preach to your conscience. I don't preach to tickle your ears. I don't preach to make you feel good. I preach to your conscience that it might cause you to seek the Lord. That your heart would see your sins finally and you say, I need a Savior. I mean, I could tickle you, your ears. I could tell you jokes and tell you all kinds of stories and we'll be done and we go home and everybody be happy. No. I'm going to preach to you the scriptures, the word of God. And that's what Paul did. He sought to preach the truth to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That is so powerful. But the thing is, man's tradition does the opposite. Does the opposite. Doesn't speak to your conscience. It just wants to make you feel good. Give you a little positive message. You know, smile. God loves you. Has a wonderful plan for your life. Yeah. Even in Ephesians 4, notice what Paul says. In Ephesians 4:14, Paul says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried away with every wind of doctrine. How? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, wherefore they lie in wait to deceive. That's why they do it. They sound so good, they look so good and everything, but they lie in wait to deceive you. The word slide here in Ephesians 4:14 is a word that means dice throwing. And when I was lost, I used to gamble with cards and I used to love to play dice. Okay? And you throw those dice and yes. Playing dice. And what he means here to the word slide means to cheat, to defraud their fellow players. And if you know how to do it, you can, whether with cards or throwing dice. The sleight of man, the sleight of the hand. False prophets and their false traditions of men will cheat you and defraud you from the truth and from the things of Christ. Remember it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And notice again there in Ephesians 4:14, he says, they lie in wait. They lie in wait. This phrase, they lie in wait, is the Greek word metadia. And you can hear the English word in it, metadia, which means cunning, deceitful, crafty, trickery. And we get our English word methodology or method from that Greek word. You know full well when methodologists are used in the church that are steeped in their traditions of man and not the truth. God help us. And then fifthly, the last thing regarding traditions of men. We still got one more. Rudiments of the world. But regarding traditions of men, the fifth thing. Regarding the false doctrines and false prophets, they use the traditions of men by implementing a lot of Bible quoting. Don't be deceived. They're not that stupid. They know they have to use the Bible. Satan is very subtle in causing false prophets to season and their false teachings with scripture so they can sound good. You know? Who cares? As long as they bite the bait and are doing deception, they can be deadly to their soul. I don't know if he still does it, but I'm not telling you it was Joseph Osteen, but if you watch Joseph Osteen, he starts every message the same way. A quote about the Bible. And the whole congregation says it with him. I find that amazing. But again, they have to use the Bible to deceive people. You know? Satan's point is, who cares if they use the Bible? As long as they bite the bait, that's all he wants. Like he did with Eve. As long as they're lured into deception and it'd be deadly to their souls. And is this not exactly what he did to Eve? Remember, and that was because Eve was without sin. She was without sin, and she was yet deceived. And what makes you think those of us are born in sin, we can't be deceived? You better be very careful. So he tempted her. And so whether it's to the lost or to the saved, traditions and false doctrines are deceptive, but many times they are seasoned a little bit with Scripture. But the point is, when a person is not grounded in the Scriptures, he can be led into a slippery slope by the traditions of men. The Word of God, yea, the sword of the Spirit, is what arms us against the traditions of men and false doctrine. And so sad, again, that many are deceived by tradition, by false doctrines, and expect that they're going to find something and look to works, good works, good deeds to save them instead of Christ, because they are deceived by the craftiness and cunningness of self-deception, and it leads nowhere but to the pit of hell if they don't repent and believe the true gospel. So remember, do not even the cults have enough sense to use the Bible? So what does that tell you? And so we see again that Paul warns very clearly on the importance of what? To be careful. Be very careful that you are not spoiled. Oh, my dear ones. This is really, I mean, when you think about it, it is so dangerous. The importance of knowing what the Word of God says. Back to Colossians 2 and verse 8. We look at the last thing that Paul mentioned. Again, Colossians 2:8. Paul writing, warning people by saying, beware, lest any man spoil you, that is, deceive you, hold you captive, through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men that we just saw, and fourthly, lastly, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The rudiments of the world. The rudiments of the world, this phrase is one Greek word, stoicheion. So another Greek word, stokeos, which means to rank or to march in rank, okay, in marching in a very straight line that describes orderly arrangement. And it is really a military term. When the soldiers are marching in rank and in order, and those who've been in the military, you know about that, especially in basic training, you better march in order, and you better do it right. But this word, in reality, originally also referred to the elementary principles, or like the ABCs of things, refers to any first thing which the others will then take the rise about. I like the way Vine defines the word in his Greek word studies. He says, quote, the word stoicheion, okay, or rudiments of the world, is one of the row or series, is here used of the elementary principles of religion. World here stands for everything that is apart from God, which at times leads to ceremonialism, meat, drinks, watching, eccentric, asceticism, pagan, symbolic mysteries, all belong to a rudimentary moral stage, unquote, that is, with the things of the world. Now, it seems that Vine used the definition of the word, or if you wish, the connotation of this word, that also has to do that this word is rooted and fixed in ceremonialism, which you also find that in tradition. Okay? Well, we need to understand that every person that is born into the world, You're not only born in sin, but you're born into this world innately religious. Okay? We have that inward desire of seeking to worship someone or something with the faculty of our souls. And this is why amazing that people might worship the stars, they worship animals, they worship totem poles, and all kinds of idols. But remember, the emphasis is what? And not after Christ. That is, Christ is contrary to religion. Christ is contrary to ceremonialism. Christ is contrary to idols. But religion, like sin, is what condemns people to hell. What you need is the person of Christ, not religion, the religion that establishes a man's tradition. Please understand that when God saves a sinner, He saves them both from their sin and He saves them from their religion. You don't believe that? Go read in John 4 about the woman at the well. Remember when the Lord asked her for water, and what does she do? She brings up a religious argument. But what does Christ do? Christ exposes her sin and then exposes her false religion, and then He saves her. And remember, she kicked her bucket and took off running. You know why? Because she had the living water in her soul now, and she went and told others about Christ. Because the Lord saved her soul. My. But there's another interesting definition of this Greek word, stoichein. Warren Wisby says, the basic element of knowledge, the ABCs of some system. But in ancient Greece, this word also meant the elementary spirits of the universe, the angels and influence of heavenly bodies. It was one of the words of the vocabulary of the religious astrology of their day. And then Barclay, in his commentary, said, it is possible that the meaning here, stoichia, has a second meaning. It means elemental spirits of the world that have to do with the stars and planets and the wearing of zodiac signs, which many people seek to observe, unquote. You know that Paul would write there in Ephesians 4:3, after making his argument, he said, even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. That was before he was saved, before we were saved. Paul is basically saying that the Jews, and which could include the Gentiles, but the Jews were brought into bondage of the law of Moses as the aspect of the legal ordinances, because they were in bondage as slaves and servants and other rudiments of elements of religion. But the point is that religion can also be an awful bondage. The Bible clearly speaks of sinners being under bondage to sin, but again, sinners are also bondage to religion. It is this religious bondage, if it is connected to these four things mentioned, philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Paul is warning those who profess faith in Christ not to seek the rudiments of the world, because then you will fall under its bondage, which includes the observation of the stars, the zodiac, or astrology. And it totally blows my mind, because the fact is, I've seen on Facebook that those who profess to be Christians always make reference to zodiac signs. And I just shake my head. I said, I don't get this. If you say you're a child of God, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book from the beginning. We got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Word of God is quite clear regarding astrology and zodiac signs, that they're not of God. Deuteronomy 4. And verse 13, it says, and He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and He wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me that at that time to teach you statutes and judgment, that ye might do them in the land whether you go over to possess. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourself, for ye saw no similitude, no manner of similitude, on the day that the Lord spake to you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest he corrupt himself and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure and the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flyeth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish in the water beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes into the heaven, when thou seest the sun, the moon, the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, should it be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. In other words, he's warning them, don't be worshiping the stars of heaven or zodiacs. Let me read some other places real quickly. In Deuteronomy 18, I'll read to you quickly. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh a son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch. Verse 14, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of time, and unto the diviners. But for unto thee, the Lord thy God has suffered you not to do so. It's so sad when you think about it. One of the kings, King Manasseh, in 2 Chronicles 33, before the Lord saved Manasseh, it said, the Manasseh caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, where he observed the times, used enchantment, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And so the word of God is quite clear in observing the stars, or if you wish, zodiac signs. Oh, to God, that this is not done among those that name the name of Christ. It is very, very severe warning by the Apostle Paul. In contrast, again, beware lest enemy spoil you after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And the rudiments of the world also includes the aspect of those zodiac signs. So Paul is saying, do not let anyone, anything, take you captive, whether it's by philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, or the rudiments of the world, or religion by itself, or anything, if it is not after Christ. Paul warns us of the poison. But then what, you know what he does next? After he warns you of the poison, then he gives us the antidote. Christ is the answer in case you have followed the spiritual poison of religion. When Paul says, beware, he means the same thing that Christ said, beware. This clearly means there is great danger that can affect you, not only physical death, but spiritual death in the pit of hell. This is not some theoretical or speculative danger or whatsoever. No, 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 it's very real. This is why Paul says so clearly, take heed, beware, lest any man spoil you. Don't let anyone take you captive. Don't let any person take you as prisoner. It is very dangerous. You know, as a matter of fact, Paul later on called these doctrines of devils in 1 Timothy 4:1 when he says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Why? Because these things will take you away from Christ. You see, anything that is not after Christ or according to Christ is against Christ. And this is the whole point of the apostle point. You see, anything that is Christless will take you to the pit of hell. Anything that is not after Christ clearly shows that it is not after Christ. Now, let's go back and bring this to an end in Colossians 2:8. As I said, Paul gives us the poison, but then he concludes with the antidote. Okay? Notice very carefully. Colossians 2:8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of man, after the rulers of the world, and not after Christ. And here's the antidote in verse 9. For in Him, that's the antidote, in Christ. For in Christ, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why? Because in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He brings us back to the aspect of Christ's deity in contrast to all the false ideologies and false doctrines and false religions of His day. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The whole unbounded attribute of His holy deity. I mean, no doubt bodily implies the aspect of the incarnation. And thus, in contrast to every other teaching, Paul points what? To the glorified humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ as being the abode of truth. To think in the fullness of divinity. And it's brought very, very near to us in Christ. So God, what did He do? He sent His Son from the glories of heaven to die upon the cross for sinners. And it is so sad when sinners will believe false prophets, traditions of man, the stars of heaven, the zodiac sign, believe all those things, but will not believe what the Scripture says about Christ. Where even Christ Himself said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Me. There's no way to get to God the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in religion, not in traditions, not in the stars, not in the zodiac signs, in nothing except through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're looking at anything else, it's going to lead you to the pit of hell. It's very clear. And this is why Paul says, beware, like Christ, beware. Beware. It's so sad when many people just follow the traditions of men. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the word, and not after Christ. For in Him, that's the whole point of Paul. It is in Christ, as I said, not in zodiac signs, astrology, or mere religion, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So this is why Christ started off first in Matthew 24, warning that generation. Again, Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, 11. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall rise false Christ, false prophet, and shall show great signs and wonders in so much if it were possible that they should deceive the very elect. Wow, that's powerful. So this morning, as I bring this to an end, if you're lost, what is it going to take for you to seek after Christ? You see, if you do not bow the knee to Christ, you are no different than those who are seeking philosophy, vain deceit, traditions, and the rudiments of the world. Because you're in the same boat as they are. So I ask you this morning, come. Come out from among them and bow the knee to Christ and have Christ as your Lord and your Savior this morning. Repent and believe the gospel. Come in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you as an individual can say, I am complete in Christ and Christ alone. And so may God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, arrest your soul this very morning if you are outside the Lord Jesus Christ, that He may awaken your soul and cause you not only to hear the gospel, but to obey the gospel and come in repentance and believe the true gospel of Christ in repentance of sins and in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, do you know anything of the gospel? Do you know anything of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you just know about Him? Or do you know Him in a salvific way in your heart? Again, this morning, may God cause you to bow the knee and confess with the tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord in your soul. That you would come to Christ for salvation and trust only Him and nobody else. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that Your word is very clear in warning us, telling us to be careful, to beware, to take heed. Because there's so many false religions out there, so many cults, so many false teachings, Lord. And there's only one truth, and that truth is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That truth is the Bible we hold in our hands. And as Christ said, that He is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no man, there's not one person that can come to God the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray for those that are outside Christ, that you would draw them unto thee this morning effectually and save in our midst, Lord. And I pray and I thank you for those who are truly saved this morning. They come with grateful hearts and thankful hearts that you have saved them, Lord, and made them new creatures in Christ. And so may God, may you add to the preaching of your word this morning. For we ask all these things in your most blessed and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being with us through the means of Facebook. God bless and Godspeed. Amen. Let's stand and take